From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the Unvarnished Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 2nd of July, 2009. Today, we start out with this program, or more accurately, how this program appears to be being ignored by Tucson's allegedly alternative newspaper, Tucson Weekly. Back on May the 7th, the Tucson Weekly Media Watch column, written by John Schuster, was entirely devoted to plugging a new podcast website calling itself RadioExiles.com, which the headline claimed helps radio talent return to the medium, which is itself a false claim, as several of the site's podcast personalities, Schuster himself included, had not left broadcast radio before becoming involved with the site, and there has not been any indication that any of the site's talent has either returned to or expanded their current involvement in broadcast radio. Anyway, after this piece aired, I emailed Schuster about giving equivalent ink and pixels to a piece about this podcast program that you're listening to right now. No response or acknowledgement has yet to be made by Schuster. Follow-up communication was sent to Schuster's supervisor at Tucson Weekly, editor Jimmy Bogle. His response was largely devoted to how egotistical I sounded. That a conflict of interest triangulated by Schuster, RadioExiles.com, and Tucson Weekly appears to either not register with Bogle or not bother him if it does register. In any event, it's now 2 months later, and still no response from Tucson Weekly about giving this program equivalent space to that given the sometimes unlistenable product from RadioExiles.com. The only one of their items that has been consistently entertaining, at least to my ears, has been the Kerry Moten podcast, which has strangely been out of production for the last month. This is particularly odd, since Moten works in part as a Saturday night program host for KTTU Television Channel 18 here in Tucson, where RadioExiles.com owner Brian Baltasiewicz also works as production director. And no, Baltasiewicz has not been returning my repeated communication to him either. Past Moten, I'm more likely to listen to old air checks of Los Angeles radio legend Tom Lykus in spite of his flagrant chauvinism, or London talk host Nick Abbott than most of what I find on that site. And what was Schuster's column about this week? Two-thirds of it was a glorified press release rewrite about Citadel Broadcasting's KCUB, where Schuster also works, losing hate talk host Glenn Beck to chump Clear Channel's KNST. You recall Beck. He's the guy who yacked about how the Obama administration was going to confiscate all the guns in America until someone in Pittsburgh who believed his sack of dog mess decided to take out his own displeasure on the pending loss of his firearms by donning a bulletproof vest, grabbing his guns, including an AK-47 rifle, and waiting for the police to respond to the domestic disturbance call his mother had just placed. When two officers arrived at the front door, the Glenn Beck fan shot them both in the head, then killed another officer who had tried to rescue his colleagues. Of course, Schuster didn't mention any of this in his piece, just that chump, Clear Channel plans to generate high ratings by airing the liar who inspired the Pittsburgh massacre. The rest of the piece blathers on about how Beck is rated third among several other hate talkers in the market on KNST and Journal Communications KQTH. While this program, which points out how these wingnuts operate, is ignored. Well, until acknowledgement from publisher Thomas P. Lee is received about this matter, I have no choice but to believe the Tucson Weekly is worth every penny you pay for it. And no more. One of those wingnut hate talkers, Rush Limbaugh, has taken to the American airwaves to publicly call for a military coup d'etat against the Obama administration. It started on Monday, the day after the Honduran government was overthrown by the military in Tegucigalpa. Limbaugh commented that this was, what many of you wish would happen here without the military. That's a direct quote. Then, on Tuesday, Limbaugh stated that President Obama, while talking to the troops about the withdrawal from Iraq, was, quoting again, a guy who sought their defeat. Then yesterday, Limbaugh stated on his program, quote, "This is Barack Obama who led from the United States Senate his party into doing everything he could to ensure the defeat of the U.S. military. This party was doing everything it could to impugn and dishonor the military." End of quote. Limbaugh's obvious goal here is to get the military to see President Obama as a usurper and traitor, much as the Honduran military saw Honduran President Manuel Zelaya, and justify a military coup d'etat in Washington. It should also be noted that Limbaugh is currently the only talk radio pundit, hate or otherwise, on Armed Forces Radio. No progressive talker, Ed Schultz, Stephanie Miller, Randy Rhodes, Tom Hartman, is on the same schedule. And General Wes Clark has already stated it's long past time that Limbaugh was given the boot by AFRTS. Another travesty, aside from the Sanford shenanigans, has taken place in South Carolina. In Greenville, Elka Kennedy was informed via telephone yesterday that Stephen Andrew Mueller has been released from prison. Mueller was responsible for the murder of her son, Sean Kennedy, on May the 16th, 2007, smashing Sean in the face while calling him homophobic slurs. Mueller was indicted for only involuntary manslaughter and sentenced on June the 11th, 2008, to a five-year sentence suspended to 3 years, received credit for the 199 he served in county lockup. He was supposed to stay in prison until September the 7th of this year. However, he received 2 months credit for good behavior by getting his GED while in prison. He was eligible for early parole on December the 28th, 2008. In an early parole hearing on February the 11th, he was denied, and his release date was set to July 7th, 2009. So while Bernie Madoff gets 150 years in the jug for swindling rich people, homophobic killer Stephen Andrew Mueller has been sprung from prison a week early. Two professional wrestlers were found dead Monday in Mexico City, not far from Arena Mexico, where the CMLL promotion holds tapings of its Lucha Libre shows for LATV. They were identified as brothers Alberto and Alejandro Jimenez, who worked as La Parquita and Espectrito Jr. The press in Mexico City is reporting that the wrestlers, both aged 35, picked up two prostitutes and took them to a hotel room, but hours later the woman left alone. When a hotel worker went to clean the room, they found the bodies of the wrestlers laying in the beds. At press time, autopsies are being carried out, but investigators believe the wrestlers overdosed with a combination of ophthalmic-like medicine and alcohol. Apparently, this is the common practice of a gang of prostitutes that rob their clients after they pass out from ingesting tainted drinks. The prostitutes were picked up by police for questioning earlier today. Before the Beatles were a quartet, they were a quintet, and their original bassist was a guy named Stu Sutcliffe, who was in the band simply because John Lennon was his best friend and wanted him in, whether he could play the bass or not. In Sutcliffe's case, it was not. But before Sutcliffe eventually quit the band, it was he and Lennon who concocted the very name The Beatles, spelled B-E-A-T-L-E-S. And Sutcliffe himself came up with the band's hairstyle. Sutcliffe died of a brain hemorrhage in 1962, just before his former bandmates signed on with Parlophone Records and changed the world. And in recent decades, his gravesite has been so badly neglected that his tombstone was leaning at a 45-degree angle. Today, the Liverpool Echo newspaper reports that a Beatles fan from Manchester, Colin Unwin, has restored Sutcliffe's grave personally. Unwin paid out of his own pocket for a stonemason to repair and upright the tombstone, and then repainted the gold lettering on the stone himself. A couple of months back, he had repainted the gates of the former Strawberry Field Orphanage, the inspiration for Lennon's song Strawberry Fields Forever, in their original pillar box red color. Unwin says that on a visit to Strawberry Field 14 years ago, he picked a purple flower from their garden and replanted it in his own. Now he has transplanted that flower next to Sutcliffe's grave. Obituaries for today include Canadian blues icon Jackie Washington. In addition to being a singer, he was also one of Canada's earliest black broadcasters, playing jazz records on a couple of Hamilton, Ontario radio stations in the 40s and 50s. Heart disease in Hamilton at 80. And back in May, I reported that Jay Bennett, the musician and former member of the band Wilco, had died. Now comes word that Jay Bennett, the two-time winner of the Edgar Award from the Mystery Writers of America for his novels The Long Black Coat and The Dangling Witness, has also died. Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Parkinson's at 96. And Xu Pei Pu has died. The Beijing opera singer was also a spy who engaged in an affair with a French embassy worker that became the basis of the David Henry Wang Broadway play and theatrical film M. Butterfly, Paris, no cause of death given, at 70. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one thing more today. Mark Evanier just had an interesting question to Twitter about on his website, newsfromme.com. So, how long before we start hearing that Michael Jackson was killed by six gunmen on a grassy knoll? Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news for yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until Monday, have yourselves some peace and oranges.